Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. While we await word from the Pope that it's okay to kill for your climate gods, or whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court will just go ahead and reach a decision to install the U.S. puppet president ahead of schedule, while we're waiting for those words, we'll just say happy birthday to the late, great Eric Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell. I think his spirit kind of haunts this episode 233 of New World Next Week, and we essentially look at perpetual war around the world and even beyond. We'll begin with a great piece from theantimedia.org that notes the Pentagon's new Law of War manual is chilling. Just when it seemed the government's policy language couldn't get any more paradoxical, self-justifying, and replete with inconsistencies, the Pentagon issued its Law of War manual. The manual is meant to dictate legal conduct for service members from all branches during military operations. Though the enormous tome is drier than stale bread, there are plenty of alarming entries, from designating journalists as potential terrorists to allowing the use of internationally banned weapons, which more than warrant a thorough perusal. This manual is the first comprehensive change made to the DoD's laws of war policy since 1956, and they've allegedly been working on this for 25 years. One change in terminology directly targets journalists, stating, quote, "In general, journalists are civilians. However, journalists may be members of the armed forces or unprivileged belligerents." Apparently, reporters have now joined the ranks of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or whatever they're calling it this year in this new unprivileged belligerent designation, which replaces the Bush-era term, say it with me, unlawful combatants. What further repercussions this categorization could bring are left to the imagination, even though the cited reasoning, the possibility terrorists might impersonate journalists, seems legitimate. This confounding label led one civilian lawyer to say it was, quote, "an odd and provocative thing for them to write," end quote. There's also a great piece on Blacklisted News, James, that kind of takes the time to point out that the term unlawful combatants was made up, a made-up term never before used in sort of the laws of war, made up by the Bush gang, while currently Barry's team, they're replacing that made-up term with their own different yet still made-up term, unprivileged belligerent. Hey, what do you know? We've got the PDF. You can download the Department of Defense Law of War manual. We have the link for you there, James. So there it is.
And please do go actually download it. Please do go read it. There are some interesting nuggets in here beyond what was even covered in that article, including in the preface, where they note that this manual was based on the Manual of the Law of Armed Conflict by the UK Ministry of Defence, 2004 edition, and that it included input from the officers of the United Kingdom Royal Air Force, the Australian Royal Air Force, and Canadian, UK, New Zealand, and Australian military lawyers. So it's like the Five Eyes for the military or something? I don't know. I guess standardizing their rules of conflict because, hey, they all fight together anyway. It's all joined at the hip. It's basically the same worldwide empire. So some interesting nuggets in there. The fact that they're targeting journalists, again, not really surprising, but it's good that they put it in black and white for us so that we can at least identify that fact. And also, we shouldn't forget that in this manual, they also declare that cluster munitions are lawful munitions, despite the fact there was a 2008 convention banning them internationally. And now, apparently, some U.S.-supplied cluster bombs have been dropped in Yemen, and the U.S. is very concerned about this, and they're going to investigate, and by 2018, they'll stop supplying cluster munitions around the world, but they've just declared it lawful in their own manual. So, yeah, again, just insanity, but let's keep in mind that these rules, these promises of lawful conduct are worth every bit as much as you think they would be worth, which is to say nothing. As we know, they will continue to do whatever they want. Atrocities happen all the time in every war, and the only people who ever pay for them are the losers. The victors never pay for the war atrocities, so I'm sure this ultimately means very little, but it does give us some insights into what they're thinking and the fact that they're now openly targeting journalists.
And if maybe it's too late to save ourselves now, future generations will look at this and say, look, they wrote all this down and this gives us the ability to prosecute these war criminals. Because ultimately, war itself, I think, is a crime. And as you note, they'll move the goalposts and change the things. And even though they act like, oh, there are these rules that we follow, but we break them constantly. So, James, I think it's interesting. As long as we're looking at government reports, how about this one? Defense Department employees used government charge cards at adult entertainment establishments 900 times in 1 year. And we've got the PDF for that one, too. It is appropriately titled, DOD cardholders use their government travel cards for personal use at casinos and adult entertainment establishments. So, as we've noted time and time again in lots of different ways, what's good for us isn't necessarily good for them. And I think, James, we'll move to our second segment of Orwellian perpetual war this week, because even that first segment, I mean, it's essentially changing the language. And you'll think we were always at war, and you'll think it was always okay that we used these weapons until they decide that it's no longer okay. I think I almost think of the Karl Rove statement about, you know, we'll just change it again once you guys are spending all your time trying to figure out what we're doing. You know, we're history's actors. So our second story this week on episode 233 of New World Next Week, it's Star Cold Wars as the Pentagon, yet again now the Pentagon, rushing to open their Space War Center to counter China and Russia, saying that now space is considered a contested operational domain. And we take this from Defense One. It's always good to kind of read the sort of industry websites because they'll speak openly and proudly about warmongering and weapons of death. The Pentagon and intelligence community are developing war plans and an operations center to fend off Chinese and Russian attacks on U.S. military and government satellites. The ops center, to be opened within 6 months, will receive data from satellites belonging to all government agencies, said Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work at a recent GEOINT symposium, this annual Intel conference sponsored by the United States Geospatial Intelligence Foundation. Quote, "We are going to develop the tactics, techniques, procedures, rules of the road that would allow us to fight the architecture and protect it while it's under attack. The ugly reality that we must now all face is that if an adversary were able to take space away from us, our ability to project decisive power across transoceanic distances and overmatch adversaries in theaters once we get there would be critically weakened," end quote. Work also said that Air Force Secretary Deborah James would soon be named the principal space advisor to Defense Secretary Ash Carter, where she will be able to provide independent advice separate from the consensus process of the department. She's getting away from all that bureaucracy. In closing, James, senior officials at the Pentagon and Office of Director of National Intelligence, DNI, are still finalizing details of this new center, which will back up the military's Joint Space Operations Center at Vandenberg Air Force Base, that's in California. The hope is that it will shore up the U.S. technological advantage over China and Russia, assuming that that still exists, the latter of which Work said represents a clear and present danger. Russia represents a clear and present danger because you have to use that intel speak that Tom Clancy and other connected spooks have given you guys to use in your lexicon, and the average public goes, ooh, clear and present, Harrison Ford, okay, movies, I know what you're talking about. So they're basically going to double down on geospatial intelligence, James. There's also one from the Washington Times, Pentagon girds for space war with Russia and China.
Cut the Pentagon some slack, James. I mean, they've been trying their best to find ways to boondoggle trillions of dollars out of the system and siphon it off to their cronies, and they've done an excellent job of that. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter program, $1.5 trillion for a fighter jet program that is a 20th century warfare technology, basically. I mean, fighter jets. When was the last time we needed a squadron of fighter jets? But $1.5 trillion is peanuts compared to what's going to be spent on the weaponization of space. So you got to hand it to them. They always find a way to siphon trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars off to their friends and then steal trillions out the back door, as we know, $8.5 trillion missing last time anyone checked. So yes, I mean, ultimately, that's what this is about. This is a boondoggle waiting to happen. This is what I think the weaponization of space is primarily about. I mean, if you want to play the 2D geopolitics game, then yes, they're trying to, you know, shore up their defenses against China and all this garbage, but it's the exact same garbage, that we saw in the 20th century Cold War with the missile gap that Kennedy campaigned on. Oh, we got to close the missile gap with the Soviets. Of course, that was crap. It never existed. It was complete BS that was made up by the Rand Corporation, and it was just a good, convenient excuse to funnel billions and billions more into the U.S. ICBM program. Well, now here we have the 21st century equivalent. So we're going to spend trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions weaponizing space. And, as an adjunct to that, yeah, there might be, you know, unbelievable wars that we can hardly even imagine at this point. So, again, that's only ancillary to the fundamental boondoggle that's taking place here. Of course, it is ridiculous. It is outrageous on its face that this is going on and that anyone is going to sit there and take it we need it because of the Chinese and the Russians. It is such a transparent lie, and we have to kick back against it with all our might, because really and truly, once they start to weaponize space, we are losing the game for the world itself, really. And it's just, it's ultimately about control and, of course, making trillions off the side.
And I think that goes back to what you're getting at, even goes back to the Wernher von Braun kind of, you know, the Nazis we brought over to help get us into space. They've even, you know, allegedly have noted, like, that's the end goal. They'll use all these things, but ultimately we know it's going to have to be about space, because everything man does have to be, you know, better and better. And plus, we have to worry about, if we screw this place up, we've got to have a place to run to, I guess. Interesting related note to this story also, James from defenseone.com, where the latest NSA chief says, don't assume that China hacked the OPM, the Office of Personnel Management. That's this new latest big hack attack in the States, where now they're saying maybe 32 million Americans' medical info might have been exposed. So as they're selling you all the greatest new bells and whistles and moving everything to the cloud, remember, you don't even know really who's hacking, and we know that they are going to fight the net. So James, having said all that, let's try and leave the endless war behind for our last segment on this episode, where we look at some positives, and we've called it Good News Next Week, and we've been doing it all this year for 2015, and it starts with a little dancing. Japan to lift its 67-year-old ban on dancing. This from RT. Japan announced that its infamous no dancing law will be lifted in 2016, which means next year Japanese clubbers will be free to dance all night long, something they've not been allowed to do for 67 years. After years of hot discussions, the Japanese government voted last week to lift the 1948 Fuehiho, I know I might be mangling that law, F-U-E-I-H-O, short version, Law on Control and Improvement of Amusement Businesses, which banned dancing in clubs and bars after midnight. It was introduced after World War II, so there's always still the element of World War over everything, aiming to put an end to prostitution, usually thought to have been taking place at venues where dancing occurred. It prohibited dancing anywhere without a special license, and even if you had that, you could only dance until midnight. So musicians and music-loving members of society all around in Japan came together to call to ban the law to allow people to freely dance after midnight. They called it, appropriately enough, Let's Dance. And it was led by famous Japanese musician and composer Ryuichi Sakamoto, and he garnered 150,000 signatures to abolish this unwanted law in 2013. In 2014, nonpartisan members of parliament formed a committee, and they submitted it to parliament. That was updated, and the new version, James, it's funny, for all the positivity, this new version still has one restriction. People can only stay on the dance floor after midnight if there are appropriate levels of light. So, James, still lots of control freak measures in place, but some good kind of footloose news, right?
It is good news, absolutely. So let's concentrate on that. But what is it about tyrants and hating dancing? I mean, this is something we've seen all over the world, and even in the United States. We saw those protests at the Jefferson Memorial a few years ago, where dancing isn't allowed near the Jefferson Memorial, so we had those protesters dancing and getting arrested violently for the cameras. It was just insane. And then there was that story that we both tweeted a few weeks ago, and I think we put it in the New World Next Week show notes. Wrath of Dancing Grandmothers Forces Chinese Government to Backtrack. Basically, this square dance craze taking over in China, where these retirees, old female retirees, would get together in public parks and just line dance, basically, type of, you know, health fitness type of thing. And the Chinese government was cracking down on it, and so they were doing this more and more as a type of protest. I mean, it's so bizarre that tyrants hate dancing that much, but it is always a good sign that the people will resist, at least on things like this, when it's so obvious that they are physically trying to control what you do with your body. People will often resist. So that is good, and we should push this through. I can say that in Japan, I don't think it's always been strictly enforced. I've definitely been in clubs after midnight where there is dancing going on, so there's times when they crack down on it and times when they don't care. And but at any rate, as long as they're changing the code or whatever. But it's, again, it's just so, it's a window into the mentality of tyrants that they hate to see people enjoying themselves in unregistered, ways we don't approve of. Oh, we must crack down on it.
Because it really is. I mean, it's the fundamental way that we show joy. And I imagine in some ways you could even see it in the animal kingdom. It's a fundamental thing that humans do. We want to dance and feel free and eat and sleep and just very simple kind of thing. So I think that's exactly why they would want to kind of control it, because it's a fundamental human free wild emotion. The article actually, as you were getting at, does note, it was like, yeah, you know, it was sometimes selectively enforced and wasn't always like that. But that's even sometimes a bigger problem when things can be selectively enforced. James, a couple of other hashtag good news next week updates. An Amazon tribe creates a 500-page traditional medicine encyclopedia. And this is an interesting story. And I actually went through a lot of the pages and documents to ultimately find the answer to my question. The encyclopedia is only written in that native Amazonian language by and for them, and that no translations will be made into Spanish and English. So that is what it is. But one last good news note, James, the next time we'll talk here, marijuana will be completely legal here in Oregon. It kicks in on July 1st. You're going to be able to cultivate it, possess it, share it, just as, you know, free humans throughout humanity have done with plants all along. So I think that's going to be kind of a good news note. And I imagine it's going to go a lot of ways in somewhat like Colorado and Washington, where after a while they're going to go, oh my God, we're making more money than we ever even actually thought we would. And hopefully they'll end up turning that around. And in a lot of ways, hopefully break black markets and all of this thing. So I think legalization ultimately is a positive thing. If you got any other good news notes, I'll blast through some of the other New World Next Week updates, James.
Nothing's coming to mind. Don't put me on the spot.
Tell me something good.
Yeah.
but again, we implore folks to give us stories using hashtag good news next week, as well hashtag New World Next Week. And we return to the theme of perpetual wars. We wrap up this episode 233 of New World Next Week. Weapons manufacturers can't call themselves Christian, says the guy fronting for a cult that makes billions of dollars every year while molesting kids and lying about it. The Pope has just become quite the rock star, James. He's just saying every right word. Meanwhile, U.S. lawmakers lay down red lines on the Iran nuclear deal. Israel bombs Lebanon to destroy their own downed drone. And back here in the United Snakes of Captivity, NYPD to add 1,300 officers, including 300 for a new counterterrorism team. FOIA documents prove the CIA does operations here in the States. And not only is everything coming up Pope, but everything is coming up Barry these days. While we were being distracted by fabricated race wars, Congress gave Obama fast-track authority for trade deals as the House easily clears that trade package. And just today in the news, huzzah, Supreme Court upholds all Obamacare subsidies in a win for Obama. So as American families are getting ready to spend $7,500 more a year for a family of four, I would just say if you like the post office, you are going to love Obamacare. Or to maybe put this, James, into kind of a simple, dumb summer analogy, it's basically like Big Brother swiped your picnic basket and ate all your food, ate your lunch right in front of your face. And then you cheered wildly when they threw you some crumbs back in your face. But to really actually end on a positive note, a huge thanks to everybody that donated or subscribed after last week's episode. I know for myself, people like Christopher and Elaine, their support helps keep independent, non-commercial media going and growing. James?
It sure does. And on that note, I guess we should talk a little bit about the summer, because it is summertime when people go on vacations, including yours truly. So next week, I'm going to be out of town here in Japan, interviewing Professor Kyol Chung about Korea. And meeting with Japanese book publishers. Enough said about that. But then after that, my family is going to be taking my son back to Canada for the first time ever to meet family and friends. So we're going to be out for the next few weeks, basically. And we'll be back late June, hopefully. We still haven't worked out the details on that, but we're going to work that out. So hopefully in 3 to 4 weeks from now, we'll be back with some more New World next week.
Late July, that is.
Oh, sorry.
It's already late June. We're already halfway through 2015. James, we've been doing the show, I think I've kind of lost track now, but we're in maybe our sixth calendar year of doing New World next week. And it's always a pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to you again. Enjoy your summer.
You too.